Abide with me. Abide with me. Don't let me fall. And don't let go. Walk with me. And never leave. Ever close. God, abide.
Journey to Inner Chamber was written for the purpose of the journey. And the journey is the 9-month discipleship process, not program, but process. Uh-huh. And Journey to the Inner Chamber was to be kind of an appetizer to build a small group, low commitment, to come read the book. Let's discuss it. Let's discuss the implications of it. And then once we're getting a little taste of it, it's the way we can now invite him to the next step, which is a larger commitment.
Hey, Influencers, this is Brian Craig. I'm the Executive Director for Influencers Global Ministries, and I just wanted to tell you about this new project you may have already heard about. We've done some blogs and podcasts, but Influencers is endeavoring to make a movie of our favorite book, Journey to the Inner Chamber, that Rocky wrote 22 years ago and has just been such a lovable book by so many influencers out there. And the reason we're doing this is because we feel like God called us into it, first of all. Through the years, many people have said, this needs to be a movie. It's so visual. The castle imagery, all that stuff has really resonated with people and helped grab the hearts of people. And we live in a visual society. So we've thought about this before and it just never felt like the right time, or we didn't even know how we would do it. But this time is different. God has put a team together. He's given us a game plan. And we have prayed for God to close the door so many times. And every time we do, he just opens it wider and he brings more people to the team that can offer something. So Influencers Global Ministries is in partnership now with a newly formed LLC called Journey Productions and also Journey Feature Films. And we're in the process of moving ahead with how to turn Journey to the Inner Chamber into a movie. We've been having meetings with production companies that are in the Christian realm and producers and all the kind of people that know how to do this and how to adapt a book into a movie. And we're moving ahead. And Lord willing, this is going to be able to reach millions of people all around the world. And they're going to be interested to know, what is this abiding relationship with Christ about? And we'll be able to take them through the journey.
Well, I'm Brian Bird, and you may know me from some of the projects that I've been involved in. My television show, When Calls the Heart, 11 seasons of that, Touched by an Angel, the movie The Case for Christ. And I've been a film and TV writer and producer for going on 35 years. But I'm excited to be joining the Influencers team as a screenwriter and as a producer of The Journey. And one of the most striking images in this book is what is called the refugee camp. And it's a depiction of the entire world. The world is full of spiritual refugees. Some are hungry. Some know that they need more in their lives. Others have no clue. And also in this incredible cinematic depiction in the book are these knights that come out of this castle, across this bridge, and they do rescue operations amongst those refugees who are ready to be saved and discover the secrets to what a really meaningful life needs to be. And the Journey groups and Influencers as a ministry and as a movement trains up those knights to go out to that refugee camp and do rescue operations on the people that are ready to be saved. I've never seen a movie like this in my life. So I'm very excited to be working on this project. We've got a great team. We're stepping forward in faith, and we are encouraged by the people that have stepped up to help us get this started. We know that God is going to bring some big champions to help us get it to the finish line.
Our mission is to make disciples. And I'm hoping that the movie will create in them an awareness that something is missing and they want to find it. I'm hoping that we will be in partnership with the Holy Spirit as He speaks into their heart, and then we have a movie that is used to motivate them to the next step. And the next step is not just to see a good movie. No, the next step is to go to a place where they can now be discipled and that they're able to get that intimate connection with Jesus Christ that is our mission. We're hoping and praying that this will be an awakening within the body of Christ, that God could use this for that purpose. It'll have to be Him though, Brian. It's not something that we can do as men. We're just ordinary people, but we serve an extraordinary God, and we're going to depend on Him.
There's all sorts of plans underway for how we would be ready for the response to the movie. But the most important thing right now is we're going to have to raise some funds to make this movie. We've done a lot of research and we've determined that some of the real quality movies that we've seen out there, like Jesus Revolution and Sound of Freedom and these other movies, cost around $15 million. And we think that's what it's going to take. We're believing that this is something God's invited us into, and we're excited to see what's going to happen. Be following our website and our blogs and podcasts. We'll keep you updated on everything going on. But most of all, be praying for God's will to be done on this. And be praying about all the people whose lives might be touched by this movie and who might end up going through the journey and their lives could be transformed forever, just like we've seen for 22 years now.
While these guys are coming to the stage, we gave all you guys a little movie card poster in your packet, and this is really just to remind you to be praying for the movie. Join us in praying for what God's going to do through this movie. So, like to these guys here, you saw Brian Bird on the screen there, and he kind of introduced himself there. But Brian, thanks for being here all the way from Colorado, and There's so much more than we'll be able to share tonight, but I just have to tell you, there's been so much prayer that's gone into this, and God has just given us the next step every time. And one of those was finding Brian Bird. I think we had a lot of different people that we were talking to about writing the screenplay, and God presented Brian. And like with one Zoom call, there was a kindred spirit between Brian and Rocky, all of us, and we just knew, and Brian even knew, because he's a busy guy and has a lot of things going on and that he's working on. But he felt like God told him to. I'll let him speak for himself in a minute. But I have to say this, Brian, one of my favorite stories is his break into the movie industry was writing an episode for one of my favorite shows when I was a kid, Fantasy Island. You guys remember Diplane? Anyway, so we'll talk about Brian in a minute. The guy in the middle is Kevin Ernst. Kevin, yeah. Kevin is originally from Northern California, but he's now made his way to Nashville and not too far from us. And he's a filmmaker. He's been in the filmmaking business over 20 years with clients including Disney, Lionsgate, New Line Cinemas, Compassion International. He's done some work with nonprofits. He's worked on the recent editorial work. Let's see, his most recent, he did editorial work, sorry, on Jesus Revolution. You guys saw that on the screen. Kevin was involved in that project. And also Johnny Cash, Redemption of American Icon. So, and it was through Kevin. Kevin came on the team first, and he's the one who guided us to Brian. And so, welcome, Kevin. He's been a great asset to us on this project. So, yeah. And Kevin's the one who did the video and another video you're going to see in a minute. So he's been a great, great help, giving us some really quality stuff. This guy over here on my left here is a Journey brother. Northwest Arkansas Journey brother, Satch Oliver. Welcome, Satch. He is the chairman of Journey Feature Films that we formed. He's an influential attorney in Northwest Arkansas, but he is very passionate about influencers since changed his life a few years back as an elder at a local church in Northwest Arkansas. And he definitely wants to see this movie reach millions and get them to go through the journey. So, glad Satch is on the team. He's been huge on this thing. So I've got this mic here, and we're going to pass around. Brian, I'm going to start with you. I'm going to ask these guys some questions here. But Brian, would you just talk a little bit about why you're part of this and what led you to it to say yes on this?
Well, I could take all night to sort of wind up to why and how I got involved in this, Brian. But as you saw, this little show that we we built called When Calls the Heart. By the way, a shameless plug. Sunday night is season 11 premiere. So for all you men who want to put some points in the bank with your wives, watch with them, because I know probably a few of your wives are big fans of the show. But Michael Landon Jr. and I created the show more than a decade ago. This is confidential. It's not been public, so please keep your Twitter accounts closed right now. But we just got picked up for season 12, officially. So all that to say, we created it. We're the bosses. We got to let other people now do all the hard work. And what that does is it makes me very dangerous in the marketplace, which means I can do other projects, right? It doesn't take all my year up the show anymore. And so it allowed me to do projects like The Case for Christ, which we were so proud of and really moved a lot of people, you know, internationally, and a whole bunch of other projects. I'm working on the John Wooden story as well, a biographical film about John Wooden. And so going through the struggles of When Calls the Heart to get it going, it's a whole story in and of itself, a testimony really, that how that came about. But it created a sense of fearlessness in me. And it created a sense of, I have to say yes to whatever God brings to me. And this is absolutely a big flashing green light from the Father that I was supposed to do this project. And as Brian mentioned, you know, Kevin sort of reached out to me through a mutual friend. I didn't know anything, to be honest. I didn't know anything about influencers at the time. I'm since learning a whole bunch. I'm drinking from a fire hose already. I'm in a journey group with Tom and Kevin Beasley. And Kevin, we're both getting baptized by fire already. But my spiritual heart is say yes to the things that God brings into my awareness. If the story lights my jets, if it has kingdom value, and if my skills match the opportunity, I say yes. Now, I have no clue how it's going to happen, right? The rest of it is in God's hands. The Zoom meeting we had with Rocky and Brian and Satch and Kevin Beasley and Kevin Ernst and a few others, it was so clear to me. And I was praying that it was clear to all y'all, and apparently it was. when I read Journey to the Inner Chamber, I had never read anything like it, except for Pilgrim's Progress and Paradise Lost and some of these amazing classic allegory stories that are part of the history of Western civilization and honestly of the faith of our country. They came from those books. And this is the first time I had read anything like this that combined a powerful human story with this unbelievable allegory of this refugee camp and this castle and these demons shooting flaming arrows. I mean, it's Game of Thrones, right? Meets a powerful redemption, personal redemption story. So, you know, you had me at that book, and then I needed for you all to believe that too. So,
hey, before you pass the mic, Brian, talk a little bit about your sticky note on your keyboard.
So, you heard that I had done the show Touched by an Angel. I did about 100 episodes of that series, which was a big hit in the U.S. And I, as a writer, right, and a producer, I was writing an episode of that show, and the script was due the next day, and I had written myself into, figuratively, a tributary of the Amazon River, and I couldn't find my way back to the main channel. I was lost. And there's no such thing as writer's block in television. It's, you get fired. You don't get to call up and say, oh, I'm just struggling, you know, I'm gonna need more time. That doesn't happen. So I was desperate, and I reached out to God, and I said, God, I don't know what to do here. Please help me. And words didn't start magically typing on the screen. You know, I didn't hear an audible voice, but I got a deep soul impression. And the soul impression was this: I was a writer, now you be one. And I got chill bumps. I thought, what does that mean? And then all these verses flooded to me from my growing up years in church and as a Christian. In the beginning was the Word, Logos. And it was written not on tablets of stone, but on hearts of flesh. Jesus, the author and protector of our faith. God, the author of everything, the creator, the author. How did he speak the universe into existence? With his voice. He communicated, wrote everything into existence. And that night, I said, God, if I have a tiny strand of the DNA, of that DNA, because I'm made in your image, then Lord, you dictate, I will type. And so that's 20 years ago or more. Since then, I have a post-it note on my computer that says, be God's typist. And I have never had any more writer's block since that night, because I just go. I say, God, you, Holy Spirit, you, whatever you want is what I'll put there. And so that's how we do it.
And what Brian didn't know when he was telling that story was that there's been so many times that Rocky has told me that as he was writing his books, he felt like the Holy Spirit was inspiring and he was just taking dictation. I mean, he's told me that so many times, and it was like, oh my gosh, there's a kindred spirit of these two guys. So that was beautiful. So Kevin Ernst, talk about why you're involved in this and kind of what your experience has been getting to know this ministry and this project. Talk about that.
Sure. It was relationally birth. I was in a small kind of Bible study, a men's group in right outside of Nashville. And in that group, there was a gentleman by the name of Bill Corbin that has a good relationship with Brian and other people here. And one day he's like, you know, I want to meet with you for lunch or something. I was like, oh, yeah, sure. That sounds great. And he went through this whole thing. And we had a really great time at the end. He's like, so we've been praying a lot. I'm like, where is this going? And he was like, there's a ministry. And they want to make a movie. And I had worked on Jesus Revolution, as Brian had mentioned, and have really good relationships with some of the folks over at Kingdom Story Company who produced that film. And so Bill began to describe and tell about the ministry and that they wanted to make a movie. And I have to be honest, there's a piece of me that was sitting there going, I've met a lot of people, I've met a lot of groups who want to make videos, who want to make movies. But I also know you never know where it comes from. And get humble process. And you stop judging where something is. So I felt even in my heart, my spirit at that moment, I was like, okay, yeah, no, that'd be great. Let's meet up. And, you know, I expected maybe one, two people on the call, and there's like this whole team of people all sitting there like, we believe God's telling us to do this. And like, and I was like, okay, God, I don't know where this is going. But what I began to discover, and, you know, I was getting counsel from other friends, and you're like, it's a challenge with people who, you know, have maybe success in one area. They think they can go just make a movie and it's going to work out and it'll be fine. And it's not always the case. But I found such humility amongst this group. And the other thing that struck me so powerfully was the way you prayed. And that there was a genuine seeking of what God was doing and a listening. And then asking. And I've been among filmmakers who are even making faith content that aren't asking like that. They're just going and doing their thing. And I'm not faulting them. I know they're in their profession or whatever. But it's made me ask that question of what could a movie be that is bathed in prayer, that is saturated in the presence, the Spirit of God, that is coming from this heartbeat that I believe God wants to do upon the earth. Like, I really believe that God is like wanting this message of intimacy with God in the world. And I was like, God, I could be a part of that. You know, I say that like several years ago, I wanted to go into secular filmmaking, you know, like, let's go make real movies, you know. But I remember seeing a film, it was called Woodlawn. I was sitting in the theater, and as I was sitting there, I just started to cry because I felt the heartbeat and the Spirit of God in it. And it was really, I thought it was really well made. And I remember saying in that quiet, forgotten, backside of a mountain season of my life that I was like, God, if that's what you're doing, I'd like to be a part of that. And I feel in this moment that I'm a part of something like that. And I feel that shepherding. I feel that, I want to help shepherd this project into life.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, Kevin.
All right, Seth, you've been around this ministry. You know, you're on the Northwest Arkansas Cabinet. You've been around for a while, and you know this ministry. So what's this been like for you? I mean, talk about how this process has evolved from your lens of the whole thing.
I'd like to tell you that there's a small group of us, and we had sunglasses on, and our beautiful long hair was waving on the wind, and we were on the beaches of California. And we decided we're going to make this movie for Christ. But instead, the story of this movie is like so many stories that I've already heard from so many of us. And I heard last night from Josh, and I heard from Nate today. And at the beginning of this was a bunch of broken men wondering, should we do this? Can we do this? We take one step forward, two steps back. How are we going to get the money? And it was Tom C., after we had been brainstorming for a little while, and that's why we call ourselves the Little Rascals, is because we were getting together like in a club and dreaming real big. Well, we had some big ideas. But is this going to go anywhere? And Tom C. said, we need to go on a prayer retreat. And a group of us did that. And here's what it felt like. It felt like that moment last night when Josh said that he was hearing that testimony and the Holy Spirit. It felt like Nate today when he said he just remembered it just like that. God took care of it. And that's when the Holy Spirit set on our hearts a commission. And he picked the most unsuspecting, undeserving, unlikely group to do it. And the momentum now is starting to catapult forward. And these two men are by the grace of God. And God brought them to us. It'd be nice. Wouldn't it be just cooler to say, yes, we picked Brian Berg. Yes, we picked Berg. God Almighty
yeah,
did.
That's right.
He just kept opening doors and closing doors.
Yeah, Brian. So, Brian, you mentioned Case for Christ, which was a book by Lee Strobel first and then made into a movie. So talk about the challenges of making a book into a movie, and including this particular book.
Yeah, thank you. And I just have to preface this by saying that, you know, Rocky Fleming, the writer of this book that has meant so much to so many thousands, tens of thousands of men and women as well, and all of you, obviously, when I first got in a room with him at the cabin by the lake and with Kevin as well and Brian and a few others, we had a brainstorm about how to turn this book into a movie. And every book presents challenges. The Case for Christ is not a movie. It was like a bunch of people telling why Jesus was real, right? Like interviews with people. So I had to find in that story, what's the human story? Well, it was a giant love story. It was a love story between Lee and Leslie Strobel. And Lee wanted desperately to rescue his wife from the cult that she had joined called Willow Creek Church, right? He didn't want any part of it. He was a happy atheist. So he tried to disprove Jesus to get his wife out of the cult, right? So it's really a hero's quest. The hero is an atheist trying to rescue his wife. I mean, that's how the movie was structured. And in and around that, he interviews all these experts and they blow him up. And he realizes at the end of the day, it would take more faith to stay an atheist than it would to just say, I believe. And that's what the movie became. So in this case, what we have is this amazing story about an unnamed everyman who represents all of you, right? Who goes on this quest to understand his faith better and to become a better, you know, disciple. And he has this vision. The challenge that we had and that we worked through, that Rocky and Kevin and I and Brian just brainstormed our way through, is how to make our man, who is now called Jack, by the way. Jack is the name of our everyman, so you'll have to start getting used to that. How to give him a backstory that would force him into the crucible of his vision. If you can understand that, in the book, he's already sort of halfway there and he's ready. He's ready to have Gabe mentor him. He's ready to see this vision to help him along the rest of the way. It works beautifully in the book, but we needed to back that man up a ways to give him more of a story. And I don't want to give all the spoilers away, Rocky, here tonight, but just suffice to say that he's in a much tougher spot when he starts this movie, when he starts the story, than the everyman, the journeyman in the book. And he's hiding a big secret in his life. And we've heard about some of those secrets from the stage this weekend, right? Guys, we all have them, right? We all have a history, or we know somebody who does, or we have family members who've been through deep crucibles, deep spiritual crucibles, before they finally were able to find Jesus or finally able to go on the road with Jesus. And so that's what we're doing with this story. It's a different journeyman with a different story than what you all have become familiar with in the book. But boys are rich. Boys are rich. And you better bring a whole box of Kleenex when you go to this movie. And it's not for your wife. She's gonna need two boxes. You will need a full box. It's a four hanky movie, I'm telling you. How it has evolved under all of our brainstorming, it's not just me, we've all contributed to this. Rocky has his DNA all over this movie. Not just because of the book he wrote, but because he participated in how to build this in a fresh new way. So when Jack winds up at Gabe's cabin, that all happens pretty much the same way as it does in the book, but he does not want to be there. This is a guy who's being pulled kicking and screaming into his revelation of what that vision means for him. And his wife has basically said, don't come home until you figure it out. So he's in a bad way with his wife. He's had a life event, which I'm not going to spoil for you because it's one of those hanky moments that you're going to have to get through. But he's in a bad way. And he's running from Gabe, essentially. He doesn't want what Gabe has to say. That's unlike what's in the book, but it's necessary to get, and you heard Nate say, the dark night of the soul. He stole that from the hero's journey. That is part of the hero's journey in every movie, in every story. there's a hero's journey. And the dark night of the soul is the big climax at the end of the second act of every movie. It has to be the lowest point of that man's life. And that's what's going to happen in this movie. And it's going to happen while he's with Gabe. So I'm not going to give you more spoilers, but just know that this has been for me one of the most profound experiences so far. And we're still writing the script right now, but in terms of building the story, it's been one of the most profound spiritual experiences of my life. And my prayer for all of you and for the thousands of people that you all need to get to the theaters when this becomes a reality, and we're going to depend on the influencers to be shouting from the mountaintops that they need to get to this movie and need to be inviting every one of their friends to this movie, not just because of the money involved, but because of the hearts involved. And just one more thing, guys. Be prepared for a wave that's like the Fukushima tsunami. I'm telling you, there's going to be a spiritual tsunami from this movie. And you're all going to be leading groups. Every one of you. You better. You have to.
So you may or may not know that you guys remember the movie Passion of the Christ. Mel Gibson made the story of that. And, you know, that blew Hollywood away with the number of people that came to see that. And I think executives and studios realized there is a Christian audience out there, like a sleeping giant. And that's when all the major studios started having faith-based divisions of their studios. And, you know, you talked about Kingdom Story, Kevin, and which basically does faith-based projects, you know, but would you say this is a faith-based project, or do you think this is bigger than that, Kevin?
I laughed when you asked me that question. Like, he had sent this email. I was like, oh, great. I do want to mention one thing, is that these rascals, like, they are like protectors over the story. So I want you to know that there's a deep care over Gabe, there's a deep care over this everyman, the vision. Like, there is like a love and a care. And I think all of us realize there's a translation that happens from book to film. They're not the same thing. It has to fit within a certain format. But there is a care and a love, but there's also this realization and an understanding that it is the DNA, it is the spirit of this message, of this heartbeat that we're wanting to carry through. We're wanting that to hit more than it be a perfect translation or your exact representation. Like, obviously you want, like, one of my convictions at the beginning was like, well, I hope that influencers love this book first, or they love this movie first. Like, I hope it's a champion and a representation that really honors this audience. So I just want you to know we're thinking about you deeply. We're thinking about Rocky and this team deeply. But we're also wanting to reach far and wide. To get back to your question.
You're not avoiding it, are you?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. And it's the reason I say this as a kind of as a producer. My producer mind is like, well, you know, this movie should fit within the faith audience. Because it represents that. And I think there's some wisdom there. Like, the message starts off with, yeah, we want to reach those marginalized Christians or people who are on the outskirts to get to meet Gabe for the first time, get to identify a crucible in their life and be awakened to this potential abiding relationship with Jesus. And so, yes, that's obviously... But I want you to know that we're also, as a craftsman, I'm going, we want to make the most excellent film within our budget that reaches the broadest audience. Like, the faith audience is huge, and it is wildly underrepresented. And we know it's huge because we see movies like Jesus Revolution on a $15 million budget. It made, I think, $54 million. You see Sound of Freedom think it made over $200 million on a $15 million budget. You have The Chosen, which is being seen by hundreds, I think hundreds of millions of people around, 200 million people around the world. There is a hunger for this type of film. And so there's this huge sleeping giant, this faith audience, yes. But there's also a world crying out. There's a refugee camp. And so the design and the work and the people, it is to look as for a secular audience, what they might expect, but it's with the integrity and the sincerity and the heartbeat that Christians rarely see. And so that's what we're looking for. And I think it's for both. And there's lots of wisdom and process you do with distributing a film.
So I personally believe every film is a faith-based film, because the hero's journey goes back to the beginning of mankind. The monomyth, the hero's journey, has been identified by researchers and not people of faith. And you know what one of the stages of the hero's journey is? It's called the resurrection. And this goes back before Jesus. In the Epic of Gilgamesh, from ancient Sumeria, 1,000 years before Jesus, Gilgamesh dies and is resurrected. What? How come? How come that happened? Because mankind is wired for resurrection. We all have strings, violin strings running through our souls. Anywhere you go, all of us, everybody in this room, everybody in China, everybody in India, no matter what era you come from, 1,000 years ago, the same violin strings are in all of us. And they're tuned to themes like courage, nobility, sacrifice, forgiveness, resurrection, redemption, community. Those same strings run through every culture. So every film has some sort of a resurrection. Secular, doesn't matter. The Matrix had a resurrection. Harry Potter had a resurrection. E.T. had a resurrection, because people are hungry for resurrection. So that question, to me, is a false question. To me, it's not, is this a faith-based question? Is this a faith-based movie? That's not the question. Is this a human, powerful human story that hungers for resurrection?
Well, I think Satch and I, all of us, our heart is whoever you would want to give a journey book to, that's the audience. And to me, we don't limit that. I mean, that could be anybody. Either if you're a neighbor who doesn't know Christ, it could be anybody. But these guys are helping us think through how does Hollywood view it? Because that is an important question from marketing and who's going to pick it up and all that. But this whole thing's been beyond logic, beyond the norm. So we're open to anything, I think. So Satch, how in the world we're going to raise $15 million. How do you think that's going to happen?
A lot more prayer. Man, we're about to make a major movie for Jesus Christ. That's a step forward in faith. And I believe that what we can all do to raise that $15 million is the DNA of why we're here, and it is all of us to seek to know God deeper, abide in our Lord Jesus Christ, and live it out. And if we do that as influencers, we're going to raise the money, because we're going to be in prayer. We're going to be connected to God. We're going to be praying with Jesus Christ, and it's going to come and it's going to flow, and we're going to look back and say, how did it happen? Jesus made it happen. That's right. And so what we would ask is go back home and Sunday night or Monday morning, pray over this movie. And then whatever you get as the Holy Spirit downloads something to you, share it in your journey group. Share it with Brian Craig. Share it with the regional office. And the more that we pray and the more that we connect what's being downloaded to each one of us, $15 million is nothing to God, is it? And the more we pray and the more we connect, the funds will surface. And we'll turn that into a major movie.
And my favorite fundraising story in Scripture is when Moses was told to build the tabernacle, and he was given specific scope of project. He told Joshua, his right-hand man, go tell the people, and just tell them to pray about it, basically, and bring what they can if they're moved in heart to do it. And it says that three different times the people start bringing stuff, those who had something to give and those who were moved in heart. And before long, Joshua said, Moses, can I talk to you for a second? We've got more than we need. And he said, tell them to stop. And so I think after we get the script written, we're going to know the exact budget of what it's going to take. Right now, we're just using roundabout figures. And then we'll put the need out there and ask people to pray and bring those who are moved and have something to give can come help. So, yeah. Brian, so you know that we're not movie makers, we're disciple makers. And the ultimate goal at the end of the movie is to have some sort of a QR code or something driving them to us, to the journey and all that. Do you think we'll be able to pull that off?
Yeah, there's this thing called the Golden Rule. You've all heard about the Golden Rule in Scripture. Well, in Hollywood, it's a little different. He who has the gold makes the rules. Okay? So if this community, large or small, whatever God calls on you to do or calls you to talk to your well-heeled neighbor or whatever it may be, whether it's from the crowd or it's from big gifts, if we raise this money, we call the shots. Hollywood doesn't get to dictate how the movie's made. And we're loading this up with people basically know what we're doing. We've been doing it for a while. We know how to thread the needle to get the message in without beating people over the head with it. And that's sometimes where Christian films are at fault. They beat you over the head with the message. And it's not as effective as stirring up soul cravings that cause people to come to you and say, I need a conversation. Because the most precious cargo in the universe is the gospel, is the power of the cross. That's the most precious cargo in the universe. And you guys make a living, a habit of handing it over flesh to flesh. It's not a picture on a wall that somebody comes and sees. So this movie is going to launch hunger among the people that see it. And they're going to need flesh and blood relationships to take them the rest of the way. And that's what the journey groups are, right? 9 months of walking together through this material to get to the inner chamber. So I do believe that the golden rule here applies. If we have the gold, we get to make the rules.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, we've been doing, spent a lot of our time talking about the movie. We've also spent more time probably even talking about what happens after the movie. And we've been talking about how if this movie does what we think it will and hundreds of thousands of people are wanting to find out about the journey, how in the world are we going to meet that need or to get people in journey groups? So there's a couple things. I think that we've decided for sure that we need the local church. We need churches all over this country who will partner with us on that by understanding the journey, how to use the journey. We've already got hundreds of them already around the country, but we want more that we can train in the next few years to be ready, and we want to have a list on our website. We're calling it the Influencers Church Discipleship Network, and we're asking churches now to start signing up, and we want to get them ready so that they can be listed on our website as a place you can go find out about the journey if you're moved after seeing the movie. So that's one thing we're working on. We've still got a lot of work to do on that. But the other thing is we're producing some high-quality guide training videos because we may not be able to train everybody that wants to lead journey groups, and there'll be people that may just want to lead it, and we want to have good assets that they can watch. And so, Kevin, talk about that a little bit, that process.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So one of the things we're working on right now is divide these guide training videos. And the heartbeat was just what Brian was saying, that people would have a really great resource to help them know how to be good guides. And so it's kind of has a dual purpose for now. Like it's a resource to you, but it's also for a time to come. And so we interviewed and spent some time with some really experienced guides. We got their heartbeat. We had lots of their wisdom. We demonstrated what it could look like to go and build a journey group, to have a co-guide. What does that conversation look like? How do you spend time with that co-guide and prepare? And what does a group look like? And going through these major sections, we even interviewed Rocky, who has some wisdom and insight and just like this impartation as a part of it. But we really want to prepare for what's to come. And I can't go a week without Tom C being like, well, really, what God's put on my heart is all of those people that are coming. And we need to be thinking and praying into that. And I'm like, thank you. Yes. The world needs this message. And I think when I'm thinking about the fundraising, I'm like, the two main things is like, we need an excellent script, an excellent story, and we need fundraising. So this is just to do the basics, to do a move, let alone the heartbeat and all of that. But I'm like, okay, without the money, you can't do this. Movies are made all the time. We see that, like how many things are offered, but very few movies are these types of movies are made, but not movies like this, right? And so, actually one thing I did want to mention, we were having a conversation in the virtual group today, and we talked about, what if you took clips from the movie and you made a curriculum out of it? What if you were able to sit there and go, see Jack come out of his truck and meet Gabe for the first time? And how did Gabe respond to him and invite him in? What would that look like? And what sort of, for a young generation that doesn't go to church, that isn't really interested in God, but they just don't know. They don't have a revelation of the depth of what it means to encounter the living Christ. Like, they just don't know. And what if we had clips from the movie and it was all an on-ramp to invite them? What if that was a part of that first 6 or 7 weeks? Who of you have suffered before? Let's watch this clip from the movie. Who of you have wanted to know that there's a reality of the spiritual realm? Look at the harvest is plentiful. Look at this refugee camp. Who wants, and you can show them that. And so I feel like there's a legacy piece and there's an invitation that God's inviting us into. Of like, we can go to a studio and we might, and they can give us funds and there's other places, but I'm like, oh God, it would be so beautiful to see it come from the ministry. It would be so beautiful. So it's like, not just, it is God's project. And we are desperately seeking, like, God, show us, we want it to be yours. But I also want it to be your project. And I deeply want to see that come from you.
Okay, that's right. Well, we have hours of footage that we did a few months ago, and I want to show just real quick before you guys leave the stage. Stay around for one more minute. Would you show this little teaser video that we did of the guide training videos, just so they can get a feel for what we're doing.
Jesus said, "You got to make disciples," but we also need to have somebody in our life that has helped us be a disciple. It becomes a natural reproduction to do that.
We believe that guiding a journey group is a sacred responsibility. We believe it's fulfilling the great commission that Jesus asked all of us to go and make disciples of all nations. And we know that guides who are equipped and who take it seriously have much better success in having great groups. And so we brought together a collection of some really seasoned guides, and we hope that it will help you be the best guide you can be for the people in your sphere of influence.
Journey is prayer intent, so we really lean into the power of prayer.
The journey leaves room for exploration and discovery. That's the reason I love the word journey.
I think it's the greatest tool that I've ever seen. It is truly a discipleship process.
It's not just about having a quiet time that lasts all day long, because we do have to go to work and we have other things we have to do, but it's about walking in step with Him every day.
We really believe in the message of John 15. Abide, if you abide in me, you'll bear fruit. Apart from me, you will not bear fruit. And the journey for a journey guide is a great place to realize that, to experience that, that through their own abiding relationship, they have people around them that they can take to that place that they're going.
No matter how hard we work to try to be a good Christian or study to know about Jesus, nothing changes you like abiding in Him and really letting the Holy Spirit live in and through you.
Every journey group is going to have its surprises. And in those surprises come some just incredible testimonies of God in action.
I've gotten to see life change. I've gotten to see blessings. I've gotten to see miracles. I've gotten to see people just their whole life turned on a new trajectory.
I've been through a couples group where we saw these marriages that were just in shambles, and God used the journey to draw each part of those couples closer to Him. And now you have some of those couples leading journey groups, other of those couples counseling people who are struggling with marriage issues. He's radically transformed those couples into people that are madly in love with Him, madly in love with each other, and now want to share that with other people in their situation.
It's not about going big. It's about going deep. It's not about what we do. It's about what He does through our life.
Some of our best meetings were ones that I actually went into thinking I hadn't prepared enough, and the Spirit just took that meeting to great levels.
It's not up to me to teach anybody anything. It's up to me to model God's love and my desire to want to draw closer to Him.
Journey Guide is simply a participant in the journey who is trying to help other people go where He wants to go. Why would we not reach out and help our friends, our family, our world? They're actually longing for that which has been deposited in us. And this is where we play our part. This is how the church was formed. It was formed to find this Christ, to find the relationship that we have that restores us to our Creator, and then to reach out to other people and help them find the same.
That was just a teaser. I mean, we dig into like a lot of the same stuff that we do in the 6-week guide mentoring. It's unpacked over a lot of videos and all that. So, but anyway, top quality, and Kevin's done a great job. So last question is, Brian, tell everybody where we are in the process and kind of what the timeline looks like, you think.
Yeah, so I got invited to this weekend to be with you guys, and I should really be writing at home. So I'm in the script now, but prior to that, we did a very thorough outline, or what we call a treatment. It's part of the process, and a lot of the homework goes in at that stage, because I don't want to deliver a script that's just a complete surprise to everybody, right? And so we talked through some of the ways in which that story unfolded in the treatment a few weeks ago, and got some great notes from Rocky and the Rascals. They all read it. Mostly I felt affirmed, with a few tweaks here and there and just some sensitivities, but it was a big blessing. So we are mid-script right now. And once that script is done, that becomes the, who out there is a builder? Anybody a builder of homes or buildings? So The script becomes the architectural renderings to build a building. A movie is just a big building, right? Hopefully a skyscraper in this case. But the script becomes that blueprint, that roadmap for how to build the building. And as you know, if architectural renderings are flawed, the building might fall down on you, right? If it's not engineered properly. So a script really becomes the first set of blueprints for this building. And we're going to do everything we can to make sure there's no defects in that structure. And so part of the process is a give and take, is a really a committee around this of hearts and minds. And the watchword always is, let's make it for Jesus and let's do it right. So that's where we are. And once that script is done, we're off the races, in my opinion. It's like, bring it. Let's get in front of people and let's share the vision with them.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool. Well, thank you guys for giving your time tonight. And don't let go. Walk with me. And never leave. Ever.
With me.